שלום, שלום, שלום. ברוכים הבאים, Welcome to the Institute for Holiness, קהילת מוסר מיינדפולנס, Waking, Awakening, תורה מוסר מיינדפולנס. I am Rabbi Chasi Uriel Steinbauer, the founder and director of the Institute for Holiness here based in Israel, and we have podcast and live streaming for everyone to join us across the world. So wherever you are right now, whether you are over towards the eastern side of Israel leading into Sunday night and Monday, or heading towards the west where you may be just starting your day on Sunday, welcome everyone. Wonderful to have you. And thank you to all our subscribers and members for joining this weekly public offering where we can really delve into the practice of Musar mindfulness, looking at the weekly Torah portions from the Hebrew Bible. This week we're looking at Truma, and then we will look at the past Shabbat, which we will look at after Truma. So, what is it that what are we going to cover as usual? So we are live streaming on our website. You can join the blog on our YouTube channel. Please subscribe. And on our website of kehilatmusar.com. And you can join us anywhere on social media. So today is Sunday, February 25th of the Gregorian year 2024. It is now close to 5 p.m. in Israel, which is the GMT plus two. And for our Torah portion, as I said, we're covering Truma, which took place essentially on February 17th of 2024, which was Chet of Adar Aleph in the Hebrew calendar. So that was the eighth of the first month of Adar, Adar Rishon, in the Hebrew year of Tavshin Pei Dalet, 5784. This is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7th Torah portion in the book of Shemot in Exodus. This is our 19th sitting of the year as we've gone through the whole book of Genesis, Bereshit, and now we're in Shemot, Exodus. So for those of you following along who haven't jumped into this yet to have your first reading and to look at the commentators, we are in Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, through chapter 27, verse 19. And before we begin, we always begin with our kavanot, our intentions for today's session, which are the same every week. May we merit fulfilling them. So I'm going to cover those right now. And if you hear me having a cough or a little bit of nasal congestion, I'm dealing with a little bit of an illness, good enough to be here, thank God, Baruch Hashem. So just don't mind me. So for those of you with vision and who are watching by video, you can see the three kavanot, the three intentions here. For those of you listening on podcast or audio in some other format, or you don't have vision, you're going to hear me read these and talk about them. So we see today's awakening session where we join to look at the weekly Torah portion from the lens of Musar mindfulness. Musar from the Jewish tradition, mindfulness from Theravada Buddhism, the Dharma, where we can integrate these ancient wisdoms to get the most out of what our ancestors and God have to share with us in the Torah. So we say that we're doing this as an act of radical self-care, this next hour together. We're doing this as an act for others and also to strengthen our relationship with the divine. This is so that we can strengthen our own souls to be a benefit to others in the future. We're doing it also so we can be a better conduit of God's good to others when they need us. And this is so very important, because as much as we are doing refinement and cultivation and growth for ourselves, it's so that we can be of service to others and bring God's good to others. It's a very other-oriented religion and practice, obviously. So I'm going to stop sharing for those of you watching. And we're going to jump in. I always provide you a summary of the session of the Torah portion, and then we're going to find out what it is that we need to pay attention to today. So, bo nedaber al zeh. We're going to talk about this now. So the Mishkan, which is the tabernacle, the sanctuary that is built by our ancestors in the Midbar, in the wilderness, it was a sanctuary for God that the children of Israel, B'nai Israel, what they built in the wilderness. And it was a place where God spoke to Moshe, our prophet and beloved teacher, and where the children of Israel served God through rituals such as offerings known as karbanot, right? Korbanot, sacrifices, and burning of the spices of the ketoret, which is also known in English as incense. For the next several weeks, the weekly parasha will be about the construction of the tabernacle, of the Mishkan in Hebrew. And God in the Torah gives very detailed instructions of how to do this. So that's the background of what happens in Truma, but there's something obviously in that summary that doesn't capture what, why even call this Truma? What does Truma mean? Okay. So Truma is a free will offering. It is an offering that somebody gives from their heart because they want to. It is different from what we call tzedakah, which in Jewish law is the obligatory, it's a chiyuv, it's an obligation, the obligatory charity that we are obligated to give anywhere between, people can give it. I mean, it's recommended that you give 10% at minimum, no more than 20% of your net income. But there are people, of course, who give less. But the point is that you open your hand and that you give. And this is to help sustain the poor and those in need and hopefully shift the institutions that care for them and even something systemic in society that we try to move to a place where there aren't people who are in poverty and certainly those who are homeless. That is tzedakah. That's different from truma. So when you open the Torah portion, of course, if you're looking at 25 verses 1 and 2, it says, bring gifts. God is saying this, right? Bring, and he's telling Moshe to tell the people this, our ancestors, B'nai Israel. Bring me gifts. Bring me whose heart, it gets translated as so moved, but the language here is nedivut. It's a generous heart, right? Basically, bring me whose heart is generous, right? And it goes on, and it's not just that you bring me stam a gift. Okay, that's not the thing. There's always in Judaism a kedei she, right? Or lema'an she, meaning for the sake of, or so that. So you're to bring this gift first, the first kedei, the first so that, the first to make a tabernacle, a sanctuary. Here's the next kedei, right? The lema'an. Okay, so that God may dwell among them. This is in chapter 25, verse 8. So you're to bring a gift that is coming from the generosity of your heart, that's open, you want to give a gift. And it's so that you're contributing to the building of a sanctuary. This is a communal project that everyone is participating in on some level. Now, of course, you might think, okay, well, what if somebody doesn't feel that they have a generous heart? What if they feel like they don't have a gift or they don't want to give? That's a whole nother discussion. We don't witness it here. And to be honest with you, with most communal pressure, if you've ever really dwelled in a community, a close knit, particularly like tribal or in a kibbutz or a moshav, There is everyone knows that when like somebody gives, everyone starts to give. Okay, that's just the way things fold. Do good deeds, other ones follow. Obviously, if you start doing poor deeds, sometimes unfortunately that follows also. So what happens here is the people step up and they really give. They bring metals, they bring beautiful fabrics, they bring gems, they bring all sorts of things. Basically, all the gifts that they received from the Egyptians when leaving. And according to our Midrashim, which are these beautiful stories handed down to us from our ancestors related to the Torah, some of these were more miraculous also. For instance, the gems. There's this idea that when the man, known in English as the manna, fell down to feed the people as a gift from God, that also gems fell down. And so people really open their hearts and their hands. They want to give, they want to contribute to the sanctuary, which is going to be a communal project. It's going to be one that everyone will participate in, the where it'll be the locus of the community, right? It'll be the where the functioning where everyone comes to meet, comes to perhaps hear the word of God, comes to serve, make offerings, and so forth. So it's going to be really the community center. If we're going to have the equivalent today of the synagogue or the community center where everyone can gather, so everyone contributes to it essentially. And it's so that God may dwell among them. Now, pay attention to this language. The language here is in the plural, among them, instead of so that God may dwell in it, in the singular, in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. God is not saying, bring gifts to build a sanctuary so that I might dwell in it, as if I'm physically going to locate myself in this one location and you'll be able to meet with me there. That's not what's being stated. What is being stated is that you bring these gifts, you contribute to this, the sanctity and the building of the sanctuary, and that God will dwell among them. That's really powerful. Because one, it doesn't just section off God to one location. It is among the relationship with God and God's presence is among the people. And it's worthy among being, the people are worthy in their behavior of being, having God dwell among them because they open their heart and hand. So let's touch on this just a little bit. Rava in the Babylonian Talmud, in the Gemara. In Yoma, I believe it's 7b, but it might be 2b. No, 72. Okay. Shivim v'shtaim bet, B. Okay, 72b. He comes to talk about one of the central things being produced, one of the large kelim, the large vessels, the larger ones that will be built for the sanctuary. And one of them is this Aron. I'll show you a picture from lovely Hadar provided this image, Yeshivat Hadar. And this is the Aron, the Ark, where the Luchot HaBrit, basically the stones of the covenant of the Aseret Dibrot, the 10 utterances, the 10 commandments will be stored, and also the broken pieces, the broken one from the first round when Moshe Rabbeinu broke them. And so they're going to be stored in there. But what is commanded in this ark is that the ark must be gold inside completely and gold on the outside. And what Rava sees in this is that he really learns, he learns from all the kelim, all the vessels, that they are metaphors and larger images of how we are to be as servants of God, of people who want to be of service to God. And so, just as it's gold in the inside, we too must be golden inside, must really work on refining and cultivating our midot, our character traits, living the path, for instance, like the Eightfold Path. And that's so that we produce our gold on the outside, which is essentially if the heart is balanced in nedivot and generosity, the hand will open in generosity. You will give gifts, which is an act of chesed. In addition to nedivot, generosity, there's chesed, loving kindness here, right? So what does this mean? This means living with integrity. When someone feels that they're living with integrity and a people are living with integrity in a nation, then it's that your insides are matching your outside behavior. Your outside behavior is reflecting the inside, essentially, right? It's this beautiful relationship. And when one lives that way with integrity, you feel menuchat hanefesh, you feel equanimity, you feel calm and centered and at peace. There's that core stability that we talked about earlier that can't be disrupted, right? It's part of that purity of the Nekudat Hashem within the soul, right? That part of God that's within all of us in the soul, right? That pure core stability that has that clear moral compass that is living with integrity. Because if you know you're living with integrity, you can be at peace, you can be at peace, you can be at ease. There isn't that internal conflict that, oh gosh, I'm stealing and lying, even though everyone thinks that I'm, this good person. Say you're doing all good deeds inside. I mean, outside, you're taking care of everything you should and doing that, but you're having such terrible thoughts about yourself, being your own worst enemy. Beating yourself up inside, not believing in yourself, not seeing yourself as a child of God, full of dignity and full of worth. That can happen too, right? And so the integrity needs to be both inside and out, like this aron, this ark that's going to hold the covenant, the brit, right? So we hold that covenant today. Inside, we hold it in our communities and our synagogues. We hold it in the land of Israel, attempting to maintain it and hold it. It's very important that we constantly reflect and live with that integrity. So I'll bring one last source before we move into some material I want before we move into our practice together, which is in the Seda Laderech. It notes that God is seeking here from the Mishkan, from the tabernacle, not entering into the sanctuary, wants to dwell among them. But what the Seda Laderech sees is that God is actually wanting to enter their hearts and there dwell among them, right? In their communities, in their homes, in their tribes, in their different sections that eventually they will live within the land. Okay, so in their outward behavior, dwelling among them. So that's really profound. And as I shared with you earlier, we're seeing this trajectory where first, throughout Bereshit and even the beginning of Shemot, Genesis to Exodus, we're noticing the occurrence and the importance of yada, yod dalet ayin, that we need to know God. Knowing God leads to yira, yod resh aleph, this sense of reverence, awe, and fear, which is living by the moral compass. It's living by, it's translated as fear of God. It's more complicated than that, but it's this real core stability, inner compass that knows right from wrong and lives by it. And that leads to remembering that, Lizkor, Zayin Chafresh, that we shall remember this inner core, right? Because that we know God, we know to live by a certain way. And that eventually leads to Lishmor, Shin Mem Resh, that we shall protect this way of living, living this path. And what comes up, once you're in this ongoing cultivation and lifelong practice, whether you are a Jew or non-Jew on this path with us here, the Institute for Holiness and Musar Mindfulness is essentially in the story of Bereshit. The word, the verb ayin is seen in hey, asa, la'asot, occurs seven times, right? To do, to do, to do, to make, to do, to make, right? In the creation story. And then in the story of the Mishkan that we have here, of building this tabernacle, 200 times, asa, ayin sin hey shows up, that we are to emulate God, to do, to make. We're now, it's part of the path and the practice of really moving from someone who knows, from someone who has that reverence and fear and love, and someone who moves into remembering and having the practices to protect and to fulfill this, really is someone full of integrity and is able to do and make the hands, the out, the inside, like the aron matches the outside. 200 times, 200 times. It's really incredible, actually. So, yes. So we move from Yitro to Parshiyot Hago, the lovely father-in-law of Moshe, coming to say how you're living out your judicial system and providing this new rule of law that you're trying to manifest and cultivate and live by. You can't do it alone. You need to assign others who are righteous, who will live accordingly, right? So that's Yitro. That through that new judicial system, we moved into Mishpatim, the laws that we received. We're able to finally put those laws really into living by the rule of law, and through this clear system of courts for 10,000, for 1,000, 110, leaving Moshe Rabbeinu, our beloved ancestor, to be able to decide on the most severe cases, the ones that we can't decide so easily, right? And that leads to the opening. You're starting to really cultivate and live by a rule of law with the right judicial system. You're setting your inner Mishkan, your inner tabernacle, in order. There is Seder there. Seder so that you can be of great of service to God and others. And that allows and leads to Truma, the ability to give freely with generosity, with chesed, with loving kindness. So the tabernacle, the Mishkan, made perceptible and tangible the conception of God's presence, imminence, to which the people may orient their heart and their practice and their way of being. So this really, if you even look at the language that's commanded through Moshe to them, it says, they shall make, again in the plural. It's not to Moshe Rabbeinu privately, you shall make, they shall make. It's really profound. It's a maintenance of the community's spiritual and moral environment is the responsibility of all the people, of the entire people. So what do we learn from this? That's the same with our job today here in Israel, and even among all the Jews in the diaspora outside Israel. We are to cultivate and practice and build ourselves as this vessel where the Mishkan, the tabernacle, is really full of order inside, so that we are steadying ourselves as best to be able to be of service to each other, to God, to care for the planet and the world. And we all are responsible for each other. We say this, everyone is responsible for the other. One of my beautiful cats behind me, if you can see it. So we shall make, we shall use our hands full of integrity, matching the inside to the out. So I will close with saying, as you can see behind me, perhaps in the garden and in my yard, we are moving in Israel, as the world is shifting in the Northern Hemisphere, from the winter slowly into Aviv, into spring, And one of the testaments that gives witness to this shift, obviously, was the festival, the sharing of Tu Bishvat, the new year of the trees, and that gets reflected in the tree of the Shaked, right? Shekedim, Eitz Shkidya, it's known as, and that tree is quite beautiful when you see it bloom with its amazing pink flowers and the almonds. And you have to know that the root of Shaked, Shin Kuf Dalet, because it's so important to know the language and the meaning behind it. It means to be watchful, to be wakeful, to be vigilant. I can't think of a better reflection of us together taking refuge in community and being on the path together, how we're going to take care of one another, especially after the genocide of October 7th, but and even in general, of our coping and healing and God willing of recovery long term. So this symbol of life renewed, of life sustained through the Eitz Shkidya, which I don't have behind me, unfortunately. I'll maybe have to take you on the phone and show you. This shaked, the shekedim, these almonds, and the way that it gets reflected is commanded to be put on the menorah that goes into the Mishkan, into the tabernacle, and that'll be something that gives and receives light through our doing again, lasot, asa. So may we all merit today and every day of being this watchful, wakeful, vigilant community, caring for ourselves, for each other, for God, and this beautiful threefold relationship as a symbol of life renewed and sustained. May it be so, right? We're going to move into our mindfulness meditation together today. So please assume a posture that is right for you. Generally, as you know, in mindfulness meditation, there are four general postures to assume: seated either on a chair or on a zafu, on a meditation cushion, or walking back and forth, or standing like in a strong mountain pose, or lying down if needed. Whatever you need to do to take care of your own body, to be present, to be here with me, my instructions, and my voice as much as possible. I'm going to be seated. I come to closer to the edge of my seat so that I'm upright in a dignified position where I feel dignified, where I feel present. I'm inviting myself fully here, just as you should. We are created in the image and likeness of the divine, and we should feel that. We don't want to be stiff. We're inviting ease, we're inviting calm and comfort. And I invite you to close your eyes if you feel safe and comfortable. Otherwise, just lower your gaze. You can allow your hands to rest in your lap or wherever they're comfortable. Come we're going to practice a meditation of turning towards difficulty, which so many of us find ourselves in and day out. Today is day 141, where our beloved people have been taken captive, our hostages in Gaza. So that is such a difficulty for them, obviously, but for us to hold and sustain, especially the families of the hostages. So we just want to really hold and turn towards the difficulty instead of practicing aversion of moving away. So it's obviously not only in the realm of human relationships that we find ourselves reacting with aversion, with fear, or frustration or impatience. All of us in this life meet a world of events a world of terror, of wars, of experiences that are at times difficult to face, let alone embrace. Unwelcome changes, losses, conflicts in family, relationships at work, terror and worse, crimes against humanity, war, missiles, everything that we face on a daily basis here in Israel and outside of Israel, the just growing hatred and anti-Semitism, the real ill will turned towards Jews and our supporters, our allies. So, for some of us, it even feels like the difficult events and experiences can even come from inanimate objects. Toasters break, computers crash, cars stop working, whatever it might be. There are so many moments in a single day that seem to trigger those automatic reactions of aversion, anxiety, and the behavioral patterns of turning away. Our practice of nedivut, of generosity, of chesed, loving kindness, happens in all moments of aversions, of all moments of fear. This is where we cultivate our behavioral practice and gesture of the mind to care, to turn towards, to embrace human relationships and the world of events and experiences. So, really settling into your practice and finding a posture of easefulness. Your body steady. Feeling the weight of your sit bones if you're seated, if you're standing, the weight of your feet, if you're lying down, the weight of your body, touching the ground, touching the bed, wherever you may be. And find embodied intention within the posture of the shaked, of the almond, of the shkidiya, wakefulness. Softness, receptivity, just like the beautiful flowers when you touch them. As you settle, calming, intentionally collecting, gathering your attention, connecting with the body, integrating body, mind, heart, present moment. Breathing in, calming all that is agitated. Breathing out, calming all that is agitated. Practicing this radical self-care, inviting calmness, stillness. Inner listening, cultivating a receptive, sensitive inner listening. Sensing within the body just now, the places where there's a felt sense of wellness, aliveness, the palms of your hands, feet touching the ground, the touch of your lips together. Appreciating that wellness, that easefulness. Sensing in the body to the places where there may be contractedness, tension, pain, discomfort. And inclining the heart. The mind towards caring for. Touching the body with kindness, with friendliness, turning towards the tension, the pain, the discomfort, the lovely and the unlovely, the difficult and the easeful, kindly whispering to yourself, peaceful in the midst of this. Easeful in the midst of this. Generous in the midst of this. Sensing the mind of this moment, however it is, spacious or contracted, agitated or calm, and inclining towards chesed, loving kindness, to embrace whatever is peaceful in the midst of this, caring in the midst of this, turning toward in the midst of this. And if you feel safe, if you feel that you are able, recall the challenging situation that we're in across the world and here in Israel. Really expanding our attention and our area of concern. Moving into the Lizkor, the remembering and the recollection. A loss, an unwelcome change, a conflict, uncertainty in life and work and family, in communities and the streets, everywhere. And as you invite that recollection, that Lizkor, sensing what arises inwardly. Whether there are tremors, anxiety, even whispers of ill will, of hatred. Staying with this lishmor to protect it, to hold it with care. Not getting lost in the story, the movie in the mind of the difficult, but mindful of the difficult, of the pain. Mindful of the anxiety, of the aversion, of the ill will. And now, with that vigilant watchfulness and care, that generosity you offer to others and yourself, tending towards this with tenderness, care, and kindness. Whispering to yourself, peaceful in the midst of this. Caring in the midst of this. Kindness in the midst of this. And if the difficult feels too raw, inwardly, outwardly, take that step back to the place where you can more easily generate your intentionality and care. To know how to renew, to restore the capacity with this intentionality. Like the eighth Shkedia, like the beautiful almond tree. Vigilant, awakeful, and alert to be able to sustain and care. And then when you're ready, you can begin to return, making your home not in the story, not in the difficult, but in the intentions, the kavanot to befriend and to care for yourself and others. Repeating again, peaceful in the midst of this. Nedivut, generosity in the midst of this. Chesed, kindness in the midst of this. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Our cultivation and our practice together is being able to move between the difficult and the easeful back to the difficult, drawing on the strength of the easeful, resourcing our capacity to meet the challenges of the moment, the challenges of our life, never forgetting the coexistence of that which is lovely and that which is difficult. The building of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle, as lovely as it is, only came after the golden calf, the breaking of the first stone tablets of the Brit of the covenant. Always remember the lovely and the difficult, taking refuge in community, here with the Institute for Holiness, Kehilat Musar Mindfulness, taking refuge in God to hold and sustain us. Thank you, God, for the almond trees. Thank you for the Torah, the teachings. Thank you for the Dharma, living the Eightfold Path, the wisdom it brings through mindfulness practice. Thank you to our teachers and our ancestors for sustaining us and passing on this ancient wisdom and our stories to sustain us, to meet the challenges of the moment and of our lives. I will ring the bells, and when you feel ready, you may open your eyes if they were closed, ending the practice, or if you wish to continue, may settle in more, exploring with curiosity, with kindness, cultivating and nurturing. Spending the next minute in silence. Give yourself bow to God and to your own practice, your ancestors in the past, for providing this wonderful path and teachings to us. Musar Mindfulness. I'm Rabbi Fasya Uriel Scheinbauer, the founder and director of the Institute for Holiness, Kehilat Musar Mindfulness. Please join us, subscribe to our newsletter, contribute to the Institute, become a member, and really involve yourself in this amazing path and community that will just enable bringing God's good to others. Thank you again for today's practice. Take care.